Hello, everyone. Welcome to the First Love Club. We're so glad you've joined us today, and we hope that you hear something in this show that will encourage and inspire you.
Tracy, I just love the word club.
Me too.
It just sounds so cute, like we're a bunch of little giggling girls inside of our little clubhouse. And honestly, that's kind of how I envisioned this show, is that we were just kind of having this real kind of intimate conversation, mm-hmm. kind of hanging out in our little clubhouse, and it's meant to be more casual, because Lord knows you and I are not theologians, we're not Bible teachers, we weren't here to like dissect scripture or give a sermon. This is really right. about us just having these, just
conversations.
Yeah, and hopefully be relatable. Hopefully mm-hmm. to share things, that I find interesting or special. Some of the scriptures that we're going to talk about from time to time, sometimes they have such uplifting meaning. Sometimes, even though you may have read through your entire Bible,
right?
Sometimes you'll miss a scripture. It just won't impact you until you need it to impact you.
Absolutely. I was telling you just the other day about a scripture that I had never really grasped before, maybe. And I said, but I had read the Bible before. So I agree. Sometimes, I do feel like God just brings those to us when we need them, doesn't he?
Yes. Yeah. And I always liken it to like a flashlight being shined right on that page, right yes. in that moment. Like the Holy Spirit's like, see this? This mm-hmm. is for you. Mm-hmm. So one of the clubs that I actually have on Facebook is called the Faithful Life Club. And I intended it to be a place that hosts a challenge that I offer every month that is scripture-based. Mm-hmm. It's the Faithful Life Challenge. And every month I roll out a collection of scriptures that kind of go along with the theme I've chosen. And you get to do fun stuff with them. So you get to write them out. You can embellish your pages. I think the process of like writing out scripture, sometimes like it does, it brings certain words to life. I think that sometimes I get my little Nancy Drew hat on and I get real interested in like, why was that word chosen? Mm-hmm. What was the meaning behind that? And sometimes when we kind of peel apart some of the layers, you find out that there's just so much more to that scripture than met the eye. And this month's theme is anew. And I wanted to remind us about new beginnings. And the Bible really does have some really great scriptures to remind us about how God gives us opportunities to become new, whether that's Him giving you a new name, mm-hmm. a new role in life. Sometimes it comes with painful change. It can come with happy change. So one of the scriptures that was especially meaningful to me contained the word renew. And, renew is a fantastic word because it implies that there is a repeated action of over and over again. And it happens to relate to the word strength, which sometimes mm-hmm. some of us are going through challenges and hardship where renewing one's strength is really, really important. And that particular scripture is Isaiah 40:31. And again, it was one of those scriptures that I didn't know that I needed till I needed it. And if I were going to pick like my top five scripture of all time that I just desperately love, that would be one of them. And it's one that I wanted to kind of shine that flashlight on today and have us talk a little bit about it. So Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I just love that. It just sounds like poetry. It's just so beautiful. But again, there's a little bit more here than meets the eye. And the first word, of course, is wait, which for a lot of us, especially women, this is not really a strength of ours, is waiting on the Lord. But to wait means to have expectation with hope. And often when we come to the Lord because we're waiting on Him, it's something that our heart is desperate for, crying out for. It could be because we're in a very painful situation. It could be that we're in a situation where He is our only answer. He is our only relief from the trial that we're in. This scripture was especially meaningful to me because of how many years I'd been a single woman. And, you know, coming into the church like I did as a single parent, I always kind of felt like I didn't belong. You know, there was just a church filled with families and married couples, and the pastor would always talk about marriage and husbands, how you treat your wives, and it just, I always felt so left out and that it was never going to happen. And on top of it, being an introvert meant I was not really social enough to probably meet somebody on my own. So God kind of was like, at that time in my life, it just felt like he was really my main source, because I didn't want just any guy, right. You know, I have a bad picker. So I didn't want to rely upon myself. I wanted God's guy for me. And so that scripture told me that waiting on him with that situation, having expectant hope, didn't mean that I continued to whine and cry.
Okay, constantly. I'm going to stop you right there. What a great phrase, expectant hope.
Yeah, it's pretty, huh? That is.
Wow, did you just think of that?
That just popped out of my mouth.
That is God, because I was thinking, first of all, how good God is that he renews our strength. But I love, that's what we need, expectant hope. Carry on. Go ahead. I'm point that out. I'm going to write that down later. I need to live in expectant hope.
I want to just point out something here. Before, like, we come into this kind of sitting down here with the microphone, both of us have prayed a whole lot, because we don't come in here with this plan exactly of everything we're going to say.
Right.
I want God to show up. Mm-hmm. I want, because that's who's kind of orchestrating this whole project, this podcast, putting it on our hearts to do, is I want him to show up. So sometimes when things pop out of my mouth that I know I'm not brilliant enough to say on my own, and that's not false humility, people. Yeah. I'm just not that smart. It is lovely. And honestly, I probably wouldn't even have noticed I said it. So thank you for pointing it out.
Always write down the words that people say them. That gives me something to cling on to.
Indeed. And this is one of those scriptures. I remember writing it out like on an index card and carrying it. It was like, it was getting all like dog-eared and like worn around the edges. I carried this scripture around with me over everywhere I went. It was tucked in my Bible. I even printed it out on little cards, little business cards. I learned how to use like the Avery business card sheets you can buy. I printed out lots of them. I put them on my monitor at work. I put them on my little, like the little visor, like when I was driving, I'd pop that down at a red light in my Bible. It was everywhere. And it was because I wanted to saturate myself with the one scripture that promises such hope.
Yeah.
Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. All I gotta do is wait on you, and you're just gonna renew my strength to endure what I'm going through. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, that's what it means to give something up to God. It doesn't say anything about constantly whining and complaining and, you know, and demanding, and this has been too long. I mean, God doesn't have the same timeline that we do in our heads about how long it should take something.
Amen.
If he had told me, girl, you're going to be waiting 20 years for your guy, wouldn't that have crushed my spirit? That could have felt like a prison sentence. I got to wait that long?
Yeah, you were better off not knowing.
Better off not knowing.
Right.
And in the meantime, you know, God gave me ways to manage that, and this scripture helped do it. I wanted to be gracious in my waiting. I wanted, you know, not just to be like, I'm waiting, but to wait with, like, expectation. And while I'm in that waiting, I'm going to do my best to be the woman worth waiting for. So I found a lot of comfort in reading the Bible at that time. It gave me more incentive to read it than it ever had before. I think I was kind of, it took me a while to become a more thoughtful in wanting to become like a mature Christian. Mm-hmm. You know, this is how a mature Christian behaves. That thought kind of got into my head, and I'm going to really learn the word better. And so there was so much good that came out of the realization that, you know, waiting didn't have to be misery. Mm-hmm. And I feel like one of the things promised to us in that is that God gives you the perseverance. when you show up and ask God to give you the perseverance and give you the strength to bear whatever that is you're waiting for, I really believe God is gracious to do that. In this scripture, one of the other things I notice is there's a lot of action words here too. Waiting, renewing, mounting up, running, and walking. There's a lot of stuff going on here. So another line in the scripture that I kind of looked into is this word, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. So the word mount up means to ascend, to soar upward, which I find interesting because those who wait on the Lord shall mount up. You shall climb even higher. I mean, that I find that interesting that the picture painted here is that we would climb even higher rather than, I don't know, sit on our nest, sit in a tree, that we're actually moving upward and onward, that we would run and not become tired, that we would walk and not faint.
Do you think that that is kind of like metaphorically telling us that just because you're waiting doesn't mean you do nothing? What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I never thought about it until I picked out all the words. And I'm like, wow, there's a lot of action going on in here.
Yeah,
there really is. And I don't think it's there's never a mistake, obviously,
right,
why things are said the way they are. Mounting up, you know, climbing higher, running and walking, those are forward moving. That's forward action. That's
so
continuing
we're
on.
Doing what he called us to do, and we're in movement. And then in the time that he has prepared for us,
indeed,
what we're waiting on will happen. But we're not just sitting around. Well, I think I have heard people's thought process about this before. Well, I'm just not going to do anything until God does it.
Or until I hear from him.
Exactly. But sometimes we have to do what we can do on our end, and we just wait with work and preparing ourselves and our heart.
Indeed. And that's what was going on in the background at that time. I was going through, you know, my reset time. So that
right.
was preparing myself. That was improving and kind of correcting some things, you know, like my extreme introverted behavior, which I didn't even know how to put a label on why I was quote unquote so weird. But that was taking the time to kind of understand myself better, to kind of explore things I was interested in doing more, like being creative and that kind of thing. So in my waiting, I just began to do something I'd never, ever done in my adult life, which was to spend more time getting to know me, which sounds so funny, but it was the first time I ever had that real opportunity to do that. So,
but don't you feel like when you love yourself more that people are automatically more drawn to you? So whoever God was bringing to you, he was preparing you to be more attractive to that person.
It's very interesting because that time made me the person that, that you see now, that is willing to, that became willing to do things I would never have ever thought to do or wanted to do. And the interesting thing is some of the, like, funny, quirky things about me, things I thought no man will ever accept, when God finally did present, like, here's the guy I have for you, that particular guy thought all these things were adorable. That particular person, cherishes things about me that I always thought were so strange, weird, or
weaknesses,
things that other people may have thought were, well, why are you like that? Like, that's so weird.
And all I can think is that's how much God loves you.
Indeed.
That he gave you someone who loves every part of you.
And that, my friends, is the lesson here that I like. I feel like I live that every day, that I get to see the physical manifestation of God's love for me is through my husband, who, you know, I can't, there's no other way I would have met him if not for God. And one of the things that both of us are so interested in is, you know, using this opportunity and the platform that God has given me to be ministry. So, you know, I don't think that was ever in his head before I came along. It's something that God kind of brought him and me with your little superpowers, and we're going to bring you together. And it's like, you guys are the Wonder Twins for this job that I have for you. And I just, if I had not persevered or asked for God, like waiting on God, and I'm willing to wait on you, Lord, whatever it takes. And I'm not going to say it wasn't, easy. It was not easy at times. I cried myself to sleep plenty of times. If I were to look back now over all of the days and nights of my life wondering where is that guy for me, I would say it was worth every moment that I went through now. I can say that with all assurance. It was so worth waiting for, because what God had for me was so much greater than I could ever hoped or imagined.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of something great I heard someone say yesterday at church. Our worship leader, she said her 90-year-old aunt told her to live with expectancy, not expectation. I thought that was so profound, because I'm thinking about you sitting there and waiting on God, and I know you well enough to know that you were like, whatever you have for me, God, I'm ready. And you have an expectant heart instead of, I'll take an attorney and I need a big blonde, blue hair, 6'3", you know? And so that's the place we need to be in our period of waiting. We're waiting with expectancy, but not a specific expectation. Isn't that really great?
That's so true, Tracy. That's so true. Because if I, you know, my little list that I had constructed for myself when I was battling it out in the trenches of online dating, my husband would never even have made my list. He would have been cut out in round one because he didn't have the qualifications that I thought I needed to make me happy.
Right. And so that could apply to anything, not just a husband. It could be about a job.
Yep.
It could be about just anything that you're waiting on and you think, God is going to have to do this. I can't do it in my own strength. God's going to have to do it. Don't set up your own parameters so much that you feel like it has to be a certain way, because you don't know God's plan. Only God knows his plan, right?
That's right. And here's what I have found, and I think this is true of a lot of Christians that have waited and then had that fulfilled. Sometimes the things that you thought were so important that you need, I need that if I'm to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
God is so gracious to us. When he gives us desires, he will change our heart to make us desire the thing that he brings us.
Absolutely.
I would never have really known that. I mean, those to me were words on a page until I walked it out, until I lived it in real life.
Right.
Now I know that when God calls me to something, I don't sit there and come up with all my objections because that doesn't fit the Corey speaker.
Right.
Doesn't check my little boxes for me. That is because I know that he's going to bring me to a place where I get to appreciate what he's given me and realize, all these different things you're asking me to do, you've qualified me to do them.
Right.
Through the jobs I've had, the people I've known, the experiences I've gotten to do, I just never was able to string it all together. It's interesting how God sometimes does that for us, and
right.
We just don't even realize it.
I feel the same way. I can look back and see things I've done in my life and how it's prepared me for this very moment. I laughed yesterday when I got to church because I had been thinking about this scripture for days and praying about it and thinking, I'm not waiting on anything right now, and I haven't really even very recently been in a waiting period. So I really wanted God to reveal some things to me that would encourage someone listening. So my pastor started the sermon and said, the title is The Beginning of Something Great. And then he started to talk about waiting on God. And I kind of laugh at God a lot in our church because that happens when exactly what I need is what the sermon's about. And so I just want to bring out 2 points that he said. He said, one, each of us will go through a season of silence when you feel like nothing's happening and you're going nowhere. But God sees the bigger plan, and he's working on you, and he's working on other people who are instrumental in your life and circumstances. He's working it all out for your good. And just like Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future." And I love this. He said, God is up to something even before we enter the pages of our own story.
Wow, that's good.
I mean, you know, that's my word, story. And I love storytelling. And so I'm thinking, yes, everything that's happening in our life is writing the story of our life. But what we don't see in the heavenlies is God working it out for our good. He was preparing Mark's heart for you. He was preparing Mark to be a great husband. You know, he's preparing some company. Ooh, I feel Jesus when I say things. I know it's the truth. He is preparing some position at a company for someone that's listening. And someone is creating a position right now that then this is going to be the perfect job for you. But it hasn't even been created, you know, so you have to wait until things fall into place sometimes. And then the greatest thing about that, Corey, is when you are walking in the perfect will of God because you are willing to wait.
That's so good. You just took the words out of my mouth.
Really?
I couldn't even say anything. That's so good. It's so true. You know, Tracy, it made me think of a time years ago. I wanted to work at World Vision so bad. It happened to be one of those companies in my backyard, and I kept applying over and over again to be an administrative assistant there. And 3 years, just never even got a call back, not one time, until I applied, and they gave me a call. And when I got to come in there and interview, I was taken upstairs into the president's office and interviewed by the president's right-hand man for a job that had been created recently for their radio show. So I got to help them get off the ground the World Vision radio program, which is heard all over the world. And I look back on that now, like we're sitting here with the little microphone, and this is some of the stuff that I got to do back then was help the technical engineering and help him like record little segments. And here I am all this time later. And I think about that, how many times I've thought about how I wanted that so bad and was so discouraged that I couldn't get that job. And when God finally opened that door, it was being led into like the inner sanctum of the man who ran the entire organization, interviewed in his office and put in this very special position and getting to do this work on this very special project to them. So it was like I was given the best of the best in those positions available.
That's amazing. Don't you think sometimes we have a tendency to take it too personally when things don't go right? Like you were just saying, you applied and you didn't get called back. And you might think to yourself, well, what's wrong with me? I'm not good enough.
Oh, I totally did.
But I really feel like God is saying to us, sometimes it has nothing to do with you. Yeah. It has nothing to do with your talent, skill, creativity, anything that you've done. It's just His timing. We do just sometimes have to wait for it to be His time for us.
It's so true. And when you finally experience one of the waiting and then the fulfilling,
right,
you finally have something you can apply as part of your foundation. The next time you have to wait for something, it's a lot easier to do because you just you understand the game better. You understand how God works. You begin realizing, you know, there's probably a lot of different doors that gotta open, you know, behind the scenes. There's so many pieces and parts our little human brains can't even wrap around how God orchestrates things for our good. Because you might be sitting on the bench waiting for your turn to get back in the game, but I can assure you when it's your turn and God calls you forward, everything that you've been through in your life and your gifts and your talents are going to be brought to bless others in such magnitude you will be so grateful that you were benched in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
It will feel like a blip in time that you were even waiting in the first place, because what you have is so wonderful. Whether it's a job or, you know, a breakthrough, healing, there's so many different areas and things that we wait for, you know, while we're here. And it's just, I'm sure that there are so many people out there listening and they're like nodding their heads very in agreement that you probably have been through it too, the waiting and the fulfilling of what God has for us. And I think that is such an amazing opportunity for God to show us how deeply He loves you.
You know, I can really relate this to being in physical pain And there have been many times when I've been waiting for God to release that off of my body and heal me of physical pain. And I would think, what is the purpose of this pain? Because it sometimes it can be a painful place to be waiting. And now that I'm not in pain, I can look back and see that I actually appreciate my life more every day. I am so filled with gratitude and thankfulness because I'm not in pain, but I had to experience the pain to be able to truly live in gratitude for not being in pain. So sometimes you have to find the purpose in your pain. And when you've come out of it is only when you can look back and find that purpose.
It sounds like a book title, The Purpose mm-hmm. of Your Pain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would not be surprised if there's a book
all about
it.
There probably is, yeah. mm-hmm. It's in those times of waiting and pain, too, that we come to Jesus. And, you know, he says, in your weakness, I am made strong. He wants us to have to run to him. He wants to be needed. So my pastor also talked yesterday about, for many people, waiting is an awful place between where they are now and where they want to go. But it's in the waiting that, just as Moses did with the burning bush, we encounter a living God and become renewed and find direction. Your renewal point could be in the desert. I think there are people listening right now. They're there right now. They're in the desert. They're in pain. And they're wondering why they're having to wait.
And I, again, find this so, it's so awesome how God's timing works.
I know.
So I picked out the scripture and I was going to talk about this. And then that pastor happens to have this message.
Right.
That ties it all together when we're sitting here talking about it on Monday.
Only God, right?
Only God.
Only God. So that, you know, that, let's not take that lightly. There is someone listening that needs that word today.
That's right, because I remember how desperately I clung to hope listening to radio programming and listening to sermons. Dr. Charles Stanley was a really big inspiration to me a lot at that time. He has some really amazing messages about waiting, about, you know, about going through challenges. And I feel like I went through so many challenges that's what I identify with so much more is mm-hmm. I have such a heart for people going through challenge, going through seasons of adversity. And, you know, we don't want to forget that it's not meant to be easy anyway. And the enemy certainly doesn't want it to be easy. He doesn't mm-hmm. want us to have victory. He doesn't want us to experience, you know, becoming new in Christ. He wants that to be challenging for you. He's not going to make that simple.
Absolutely.
So this kind of promise, you know, waiting on the Lord shall renew their strength. God is promising us, I will renew you day by day in your strength when you turn to me. I will make it possible for you to soar like an eagle when you wait on me. There's nothing here on earth that can make that promise to us. There's nothing that we can be sued. There's no pill we can take. There's nothing you can watch or listen to that can make that kind of promise and fulfill it.
That reminds me that one of my favorite things about us doing this show is that we're focusing on scripture and showing people that the answers to all of our problems are in God's word. And just like you're talking about being renewed, the Bible says, don't conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the way you renew your mind is that you study God's word. You hear God's word. It renews our mind. So I never want to be someone who lives according to my own strength, because when I need answers, I can't come up with the answers. But just like you're talking about in the scripture, God has all the answers for us.
Indeed. So I truly hope that for those of you listening out there, some of you who are really going through a season of hardship and you are waiting for relief, I just hope that this becomes a tool in your toolbox that you can find comfort in.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why we're even talking about it today is this is something put on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
This was a scripture that had so much meaning to me, and it was one that absolutely had to be in the Faithful Life Club, because to me, that little monthly challenge we do, that is more than just a fun little creative activity. That's really helping people get back into the Word, because that's where God can truly reveal how much He loves us and encourages us to have a relationship with Him in the first place. And that's what we love to talk about here in the First Love Club.
I think this scripture really says a lot about your heart, Corey. because when you first started talking, the tears started coming. First of all, I know who should be the sponsor of the show. That's Kleenex. Because I cry. But hold on. And so normally I would take out the sniffles, but if you hear sniffles in the show, everyone will have to get over it, because when the word of God is being spoken and when you're speaking your heart, it makes me cry. And so I think it says a lot about your heart, because that you chose that scripture, because I know myself, I'm like, it's a new year. We're going to attack this year. I'm in a great place. I'm doing awesome. And everybody feels that way. And then, no, you're like, I think that you realize, and it made me realize, there are people who are starting 2018 off in a place where they're in a waiting period. And that's hard. It's hard to start a new year and maybe not know exactly what's going to happen that year. So I want to say thank you for having the heart of God and loving people enough to know that that's something we need to talk about.
Well, thank you, Tracy. You know, you just made me realize that this is a perfect example of all the challenges and hardships that we can go through, the adversity that we experience. All of it, God can bring such good out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I am grateful. I'm grateful for having been a single mom. I'm grateful for having been a single lady as long as I was, because now there might be something that I now have a tool to help and encourage someone else who's going through that. Because not everyone goes through the same things, right? And when we have some knowledge or something encouraging to share, we should. So I just want to leave you with this final thought. For those of you that are listening to the show right now, you know, there are people all around you that are going through it right now. Mm-hmm. You may not realize that there could be people in your church that will never admit that out loud. There could be your friend, family members that will not even share it. Sometimes the pain that we've been, you know, that we have gone through, sometimes the challenges that we've experienced, they become your greatest strengths. And God is so good about giving you an opportunity to love on your brother or sister. So I would invite you, if you're listening to the show, I would invite you to share this episode with someone you think could use it right now. A gift that God gives us is when he brings us through tough times. So often the person that's come through it wants so much to encourage others that they can get through it too. I am convinced that Job probably would have told his friends how important it was to stay faithful to the Lord. That he would have been the poster boy for faithfulness. And despite everything that he went through, that he would still love and believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
What a tremendous encouragement that is to us, just reading his story. But I just feel in my heart, that's who he would have been. Even with everything he lost, what he went through and experienced. And you are the same way. Whether you've experienced huge pain, small pain, just that you have the ability to encourage and inspire someone else who's going through it. Because when you're going through it, A, you often feel alone, and B, you don't think you're going to make it. So I'm inviting you to share this message with others. Just go love on someone today. Thanks for listening. We love all your faces, and we'll see you next week.